Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today I have an author who's been on fire for a long time, and he's very special to me, Fred Berry, a multi-award-winning, Firebird Book Award-winning author of children's books and crime fiction. Fred was born in the Bronx, New York, and after many years, his family moved to Yonkers, where he finished high school, and after graduating, he relocated back to the Bronx with his mother and brother to Arthur Avenue, for all of those in the area, an area called Little Italy, in the section known as Fordham. Fred married his high school sweetheart, Louisa, and together they raised their children. During his career, he has held many jobs and owned many businesses, one of which employed over 100 individuals. He graduated from Columbia State University with an online business degree and had a long career as a financial specialist for one of the world's largest banking institutes. He also has done public speaking and has appeared in TV commercials, including voiceovers. And during his career, he has volunteered to teach at Junior Achievement within the Florida Public School District. And he's headed a volunteer group, Reading to Children, grades kindergarten to three. I am so excited to spend time with him. Welcome to the network, Fred.
Thank you, Pat. That is some introduction. Wow, that's something to follow.
Well, it's all you, so it shouldn't be hard to follow.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I'm so happy to have this opportunity. You and I yak back and forth quite a bit on email and social media, but it's fun to finally do this one-on-one.
It is, and I appreciate the time that we could spend together doing it.
So do I. And Fred, congratulations on winning several Firebird Book Awards.
Well, I thank you for that, because I think the Firebird Book Awards are a tremendous help in helping me with my books. And it's an international award, and it gives me not just satisfaction, but it brings attention to my works, which I work hard for, and I appreciate you for doing that, because you also, with the Firebird Awards, there's something that is excellent on the other end of that, is that your dedication to the Enchanted Makeovers to help homeless women and children. And I think that's wonderful, and I love being a part of that also.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, especially coming from you, Fred. Thank you. All right, my friend, let's start with your novels. You have many books, including the Lester Kane books, the Johnny Vero books, all crime related. Before we get into any book, why crime? Why did that attract you?
Well, the interesting thing to that, Pat, is that I come from a crime family.
Okay.
And so in many different ways, my father, being open, was a bookmaker. His brother was a bookmaker. His father was a bookmaker all the way down the line, and they were also money lenders. And I was surrounded by that type of world, if you will, you know, throughout my whole life. My uncles were bodyguards for Sinatra. And they were, one of them was in the Boxing Hall of Fame. He trained Jake LaMotta. He trained a lot of fighters. And he was also in the Rocky movies with Sylvester Stallone. So it just was a very interesting upbringing, if you will, and surrounded by all of these different people. And what used to take place, and I know it happens in many families, but I'm speaking of my family as an Italian family, on Sundays, basically would be the family meal, and everyone would sit together, either starting at 2 in the afternoon or 4, and we'd sit down, and there'd be a huge meal, you know, from appetizers to dessert to demitasse at the end. And all through the day and went into the evening hours, everyone would tell stories of from Italy to where they grew up and growing up and being in the Bronx, or what happened here or what happened there with different individuals in the lifestyle. And that usually at the end of the evening, someone would say to the person who basically had all the stories, you should write a book about it. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, I'm going to use that to write a book. And one book turned into another book, turned into another book, turned into another book, turned into another book. So I'm on my eighth novel, and between the novels and children's books, there's about 16, 17, 18 books out there. But the idea of someone writing a book about the stories that were told, I came up with a tagline which says, twist, turn, and then the truth, now it's fiction. And that's just what my stories are. They are truth turned around and made into fiction.
Mm. I've often seen your tagline, obviously, and I thought it was pretty cool. But now that I understand the background behind it, it's even more meaningful. And I could just imagine you as a young child sitting at those big, I love those big Italian Sunday dinners. And just from reading your bio where you grew up, you can tell that there was a lot of color and taste and richness and tapestry. And so clearly that affected you. And I'm so happy that you're writing about it.
Yes. What's interesting, the family dynamics, I must say, it was a potpourri of family mixture. Mm-hmm. My father's side was that criminal side, if you will, if you want to use that word. And the other side, my mother's side, was all lawyers. Her sister was assistant district attorney in the Bronx. So there was quite a mixture of family and stories. So a lot of it came from all that potpourri of that mixture.
A couple glasses of wine and everyone's on the same page, right?
There you go. It is. So it's a lot of fun writing. I mean, I enjoy it.
I can tell, especially since you're pulling from family. So that makes a big difference as well. So Lester Kane, Private Eye, The Pigpen Seifert, Hunting a Nazi War Criminal, recently won the Firebird Book Award. I want you to give us a peek, but before you do, there is a funny backstory on how you came to name your protagonist, Lester Kane, if you would share that with us, maybe.
I would love to do that. I had to have two knee replacements, and after I had the two knee replacements, it was only a day apart that I had them. I had to go into rehab, and I was in rehab for 13 days. And my therapist, Ann, used to tell me, I have to see you walk. I have to see how your gait is. So walk down the hall, and as I would walk down the hall using my cane, she would yell out, Fred, heel to toe, use less cane. Fred, heel to toe, use less cane. So I go home and I told my wife, Louisa, and she says, well, you have a new protagonist for your Private Eye series. So what are you talking about? She says, use less cane, Lester Kane. And there, Lester Kane was born.
Don't you just love that story?
I do. Thank you.
It's the best.
It's wonderful.
It is.
She helped me. She helped me with some other characters' names as well. I mean, she was my beta reader as well, and it was great. It was wonderful.
I can imagine to have someone to bounce that off of.
Yeah.
From.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Well, yeah, give us a peek into that book. Give us a little idea of what we can find when we pick up the copy.
Okay. Lester Kane, Private Eye, The Pigpen Seifert, Catching a Nazi Criminal. It originally, from the first book, even though these are standalone books, the Lester Kane, Private Eye series, in the first book, Lester Kane, Private Eye, Murder on Palm Beach, was the murder of a judge. And Lester Kane found an envelope in the house in the murder scene, which later translated to that they were looking for a Nazi war criminal. And he sort of carried that over, even though it is a separate book and it is a standalone. You don't really need to read the first book, but you can if you would like to. I think it would be great. And they went on to look and hunt for this Nazi war criminal through this cipher, pigpen cipher, that the judge wrote out in code. And Lester Cain's sidekick, Gloria Seville, who is and also is a private investigator with him in his office, she was a master cryptologist from the Army. And she decoded the cipher, and it came out to be this particular person, and that they started to track him and using their various skills as to track him down. And they also came to incorporate one of the mobsters who had a lot of, not just control, but he had a lot of connections as to helping them find this war criminal. And eventually, I guess you'd have to read how it winds up at the end.
So your stories are really about the characters. Let's talk a bit about your characters, their development, and how you write them, or maybe they write themselves. Just give us a look into the whole character aspect of your writing.
Sure. First of all, I come up with the characters' names as I did here, and I knew I was going to make a Private Eye series out of it. And what I do is I get as many characters in my mind as I possibly can, and I try to name them. And I name them as my wife, Louisa, helped me name them. And I use different means to name my characters. For example, when I grew up in the Bronx, there was a Hoffman Street and Tremont Avenue. And I used those street names as character names. Bobby Hoffman and Joey Tremont as different characters in different novels. But I sit down and I say to myself, well, I'm going to interview my characters. And people say, what do you mean? How do you interview your characters? Well, I sit down and I have Lester Cain in front of me. And I say, Lester, tell me about yourself. And he goes on to say, well, you know, I was a New York City lieutenant cop for 25 years. I was married, divorced twice. I don't have any children. Lester, in your career, did you have to use your weapon? Yes, I did. I, as a matter of fact, I had to use my weapon twice. I wound up having to kill a perpetrator in a hostage situation, and another one I wounded. And so I go on throughout my characters, and I actually interview them, so they can give me the answer that I have fodder to use throughout the story.
That is intriguing. Fred, do you write it down?
Yes, on the computer. Uh-huh. I write it a lot of times. I always carry a pen and paper with me no matter where I go in case something pops into my mind. I can jot a note down on it. I write it down, yes, and I keep a character list and, okay, and their traits, so that I also send that to my narrator when it's time to do the audible book, so he gets a real in-depth feeling of the character, and he's really great at it, and he really feels the character, and he can express that in his narration.
Oh yes, we have to talk about your narrator for your crime mm-hmm. novels. He is awesome. I can listen to that voice yes. all day long. You found a winner there. He is excellent.
I did. I really yes, we did. We started a real good working relationship. His name is Denver Colby, and we work together well, and he does a lot of things. He adds sound effects, he adds music. That's what I'm saying. He gets really in depth into the character by me sending him my character descriptions after my interview with my character. So it worked out really well, and I'm really happy for that.
See, that's genius, especially for an audiobook narrator to get something more than just a copy of the book,
right,
because then it's up to their interpretation. But if you could really get into the author's head or the characters
right.
and the character's head, you really accomplish something with that. So when you're interviewing your characters, that's kind of funny that, you know, obviously you're coming up with the answers, but I'm sure it feels like you're talking to somebody else.
It is. It's true. You think you are speaking to someone else, even though you yourself are making up the answers. And you really get into it. I mean, for any authors that are listening or trying to create characters, you really have to put yourself there. You have to really think that this is a real interview. Mm-hmm. You know, that you've got to put real thought into it, and what do you want out of this character? And that's the way I build them.
Yep. Well, you can tell that you do something special because there is some real life to your characters. So I that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I knew there was something going on there that mm-hmm. makes them special.
I appreciate that. And my characters become my friends. Mm-hmm. And on a few of the first few novels, I didn't want to leave them.
Yes.
And when I first started writing, I thought it was interesting. When we lived in Florida, we had a pretty big home, and in the back room where I had the office and my computer, we had four sliders. And what I used to do was I would write scenes on stickies of what I wanted to do, where I wanted to place a particular scene, and there'd be stickies all over these sliders and all these yellow stickies. And in fact, I'd move them around from place to place. No, I have to put this scene over here. I have to change this. And after a while, I had to scotch tape them. And my wife would come and say, "What are you doing? What are you doing with these sliders?" So then my daughter convinced me to use the computer in order to use the computer to do the same thing and not upset my wife by having to look out, not at the beautiful lawn, but at all these yellow stickers. There had to be 100 of them up there.
Oh, I like that. We old timers still use the sticky notes, right?
Yes, we do. And it was just so funny. I enjoyed it. But I really get into my characters. I like them. They actually become my friends.
Yeah.
Regardless of their backgrounds or, you know, what kind of position they're in, I get to like them. And I wanted to create, I've listened to some master classes, and many of them say that, you know, you should try to get into a series if you possibly can. And I took their advice, and I'm going on to do the Lester Cain Private Eye series, and I hope that I can continue with him as I go along, unless something else comes up into my head as to another different novel and not a Lester Cain Private Eye. But that's what I'm going to be sticking with going forward.
Okay. Your earlier ones, were those Johnny Vero?
Yes. Johnny Vero, homicide detective Johnny Vero. There were three in that series.
Right.
Again, they're standalone novels. But what's interesting is that when I retired down to Jupiter, Florida, and my friend John, who I went to school with and was my next-door neighbor, became a cop and eventually became a detective, and then eventually was with the White Plains District Attorney's Office. And my wife also worked for the White Plains District Attorney's Office. And even, you know, we were friends from throughout our life. And he retired to Vero Beach, mm-hmm. Florida, which was about maybe an hour north of where I retired from. And, you know, through the years, we would see each other and speak with each other. And he passed away. And in homage to him, I created a character, Johnny Vero, because he was known around town as Johnny Vero. And that, of course, was not his last name, but I made the homicide detective Johnny Vero.
Yep, I knew Vero had to do with Vero Beach in Florida.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
It's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. Now, you are, I don't know if we can talk about this, but you're working with some movie producers?
I am, yes. We can. Some friends of mine I grew up with, went to school with, went on to become a Hollywood movie producer. He owns Emmy Moon Productions. He spells it EMI, but it's pronounced Emmy Moon Productions. And his name is Roger Pugliese. And if you see it printed in English, most people will pronounce it Pugliese. But it's Italian, and he says it's Roger Pugliese. And he has this production company that has done huge movies. He's done Pretty Woman, Single White Female, High Crimes, The Fan, Eric Clapton, Season for Robert, Jay, My First Mister, Disney 365 Anniversary Special, The Magic World of Disney, The Men's Club. I mean, the list is so vast, I couldn't even tell you how many credits he has to his name. And so he contacted me, and we started discussing about how he would like to do a movie script. And another friend, John Diner, who works for Disney, is also in on writing the movie script. And he has been producing with Disney and helping with films like Eminem, Moon 5, This Is Me Now, Solace with Anthony Hopkins, World of the Worlds, The First Omen, Alien Romulus, Quiz Lady, and he's also acted in a few films. So thankfully, they are loving my stories, and particularly they are choosing Cousins Bad Blood and Cousins Bad Blood Takeover. And we started working on the script, and there are some, I can't really say who they are, sure, but I can say that they are A-list actors that have real interest in these stories. And, you know, they want to see if they can make this a series with Netflix or a movie. And when it's a movie, they call it a one-off. But they really would like to have a series, because what they're seeing with the story, the plot, it's a great story, it's a great plot. And he says the characters are so strong and can be reminiscent that they just love it and really are trying to push for a series. So that's what we're hoping for.
Well, I can say that I knew Fred Berry back in the day, right?
I can say the same thing. Wow, Fred.
Oh my!
It's exciting,
gosh.
You know, and it is a feather in my cap, if you will. And I really hope that it comes to fruition. We've been working on some scripts and rewrites, and it still takes a lot of time.
Yes.
As my friend Roger said, that you know it takes a lot of effort, time, and energy. More time than a lot of things, and of course money, to get this off the ground.
Yep.
But what these stories are, even though they are with criminal content in it, where both of them, particularly with the first book, Cousins Bad Blood, when the original protagonist came over from Italy as a young age, he grew his empire through criminal activity. And became one of the most powerful men in the world. And unfortunately, him and his wife wound up with a tragic accident where Cousins Bad Blood to Takeover comes into play, where his son, Charlie, and his wife, Elaine, take over the business. And there's a lot of revenge that goes on with Charlie to revenge his father and mother's death. And that's where the script is going to take off from, his revenge when they're on a flight going to Italy for this revenge. And then we'll back into the original story as how things came about, from the beginning all the way to where they are now. So it can make a great series, and that's what we're banking on.
Oh, I sure hope so, Fred. I know you will keep me posted. This is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Very,
absolutely.
Very exciting. Congratulations on getting this far. You know, most people don't, you know?
Yeah, yep. I know.
All right. Well, let's talk 180 here about your children's book. So, you know, that's an opposite of crime. I want to touch on those. And I was going to ask why children's books, but then I know you have a lovely grandson. So maybe you tell us why.
That's exactly right. I wanted to write a children's book, and my wife said, you know, why don't you write a book about Carmelo? I said, well, what do you think I could write about? She said, well, write about his adventures, you know, what he's been going through, and you know, it might help other children. And so I started writing children's books, and I entitled it The Adventures of Carmelo. And the adventures that he went on when he had to go to the hospital for surgery, when he had to, when he took swimming lessons, and when he went to the eye doctor, and when he went to the dentist, and when he got a new puppy, and this new one that was just released, this summer vacation. And they all are intent to giving children learning lessons, how to listen, how to be respectful, how to keep your promise, how to do good. And, you know, it's okay to be scared on a new task or adventure, but how you can be brave and overcome that. And it's little life lessons for children. And it's wonderful. And, again, I have to thank my wife, Louisa, for that. Mm-hmm. And I also have to tell you, affectionately, she's always known as Lola.
Oh,
and that's what my grandson was called. I called her that too for years, and that's how it came about.
Oh, so beautiful! And I bet Carmelo just loves these books, right?
He does, and you know what? I'm so proud of that. He is going to be 10, and he is writing little short stories
mm-hmm.
himself,
mm-hmm.
and he's writing little short stories. And they're great. These little stories are really wonderful for a 10-year-old. And maybe he'll be a writer. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. How encouraging is that, and exciting to see his grandfather, quite a mentor. Maybe sometime, if you have time, the two of you could write together and publish a little book where he's actually co-author, too. That would give him a real boost in the right direction, wouldn't it?
I love that idea, Pat. I will definitely pass that along to him and see what his reaction is to that. I'm sure he would love that.
Oh, come on.
Actually, he does pretty well. I mean, he has his own YouTube channel, and he loves this type of technology and writing and creating. He's very creative. So.
Well, it must run in the family. How's that?
That would be nice.
Yep. So we've covered a lot here, both sides mm-hmm. of your brain and your books. What's next? What are you working on now?
I'm working on another Lester Cain private eye. It's The Dark Side of the Moon. And that'll be the third Lester Cain private eye book. Again, a standalone with a completely different story. Twist to it where, again, my novels are, I guess you would consider noir novels, where I place them in the 1940s. I just like writing in that era. You know, I love when men dressed in ties and suits and even went to the ball games like that, and women wore dresses. You know, we've come a long way and have changed, but I just like that style, that demeanor. I like the old movies that I like to watch, and I write in that era, and I just love writing in that era, and that's what I will continue to write in. As I progress, I don't know if I will then start to ease into the 50s and continue up. Right at the moment, still in the 40s. This last one, Lester Cain, Private Eye, The Dark Side of the Moon, is where a silver screen star is found hanging from her balcony on Palm Beach.
Mm.
And now they have to consider whether it was suicide or it was murder.
Oh, Fred, what makes Hard-Boiled different?
Well, I think Hard-Boiled is different where... basically, I think the Hard-Boiled is when you're really having an everyday conversation and you might have to curse a little bit, or you have to have a little fight scene where there's some danger and there might be some bullets flying back and forth.
Okay.
And that's what I would consider Hard-Boiled.
Okay. All righty. Wow. Well, lots going on. I'm excited for you and your future. Anything we missed, Fred, that you wanted to highlight today?
Wow, I think we covered an awful lot, Pat, and I certainly appreciate the time that you're taking with me to do this. I just wanted to give a special thanks to my wife, Louisa. We've been together for 61 years. And I also wanted to give a special shout-out and thanks to my editor, J.C. Connitz, because she has done a wonderful job in editing for me.
All right. Well, good. So if you would share contact information where folks can get copies of these exciting books, your children's books, and how they can contact you if they want to.
Sure. My website is very simple. It's my name, and it's Fred Berry, and it's FredBerri.com. And you can go there and see pages that will say novels or children's books, and you can go to each of the pages. There's much content on my website of background and events that have taken place. Or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iTunes or Books A Million. They're on all the online outlets.
Okay. You are where you are supposed to be, FredBerri.com. Quick question before we get ready to wrap up. Fred Berry, why do you spell your name with lowercase F and B?
Another suggestion by my wife, whom I love dearly. And she suggested that I use lowercase letters and to stand out amongst the crowd.
Wise woman, wise woman.
Mm-hmm, yes, for sure.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, Fred, thank you. This has been a real treat for me, and I know for our listeners too. You've shared so much valuable information, background on character writing, and where you're going in the future. Please, and I know you will, stay in touch and let me share with the world when new things come out. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Pat. Just one thought: if any authors are listening, that they should get involved with the Firebird Awards, because it will do you good, and it will do also good to others with enchanted makeovers.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. I should do a disclaimer, and this is not a paid announcement.
It is not, sure.
Fred, thank you. I just love you.
Okay, Pat, thank you. I love you too.